Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost and try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Call in 24/7 and leave your story. We may use it on a future episode of the program. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to share your stories with us here on the program. Looking forward to jumping into today's episode. Jenny is off today. Let's move over to our first call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Krizia calling again from San Francisco. I called in a few weeks ago about the dogs that came to us through the Ouija board. So I'm calling again with another story. So this happened when I was really, really little, maybe 2 or 3 years old. We used to play in the garage at my grandmother and grandfather's house. And so this was a day when I was the only kid in the house, so I was playing in the garage by myself. And the garage was downstairs. The main part of the house was upstairs. And every time that I would leave the garage, I would get this sense of something or someone following me. And as a little kid, right before slamming the garage door closed, I would stick my tongue out and kind of taunt it like, "I'm not scared of you," and then slam the door and run up the stairs really quick before whatever it was caught me. And so on this particular day, I was playing downstairs. The garage door was lifted up open, and so I can see out onto the driveway and part of the sidewalk and the street, the view looking from inside of the garage out onto the street is kind of limited. Anyways, so I'm playing downstairs, and this old lady, she's walking across the freaking driveway, staring at me, and she was walking so slow. She had gray hair. It was pulled back into a bun. She was kind of hunched over. When we get older, we kind of tend to shrink in size and hunch over a bit. So she was hunched over. She was wearing all black. It was either a black dress or a black skirt, ankle length. And she was just walking extremely slowly, staring at me the entire way. The entire time that she walked across the driveway, she was staring at me. And so I ran up and told my grandmother about it. And at this point, I don't have memory of this. I do have memory of that old lady, but what happened afterwards, I only know because of what my grandmother tells me. So after that, my grandmother said that I ran upstairs and I said in Spanish, la señora, that lady, she's outside. And my grandmother looks outside onto the balcony and says, who are you talking about? There's nobody here. And so, later in life, my grandparents sold that house, and this is important for what comes next in the story. My grandmother and grandfather sold that house when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And so years later, I was in middle school in the same town. And my mother used to get home late from work, so instead of having me be home alone, she would pay my friend's parents to babysit me. And so one day my friend's parents tell your mom to pick you up at this address because we're going to go have dinner with our cousins. And so I called my mom, and I was like, hey, Mom, just to let you know, we're going to go have dinner with the family's cousins, and so I'll give you the address when I get there. And when I get there, it ends up being the house that my grandma and grandpa sold to them when I was 6 years old. It was the same house. And so, of course, I'm exploring, and everything seems much smaller than I remember it. And they asked me, did you ever get scared here? And I said, yes. How do you know? And they said, yeah, like, something is here. It's either, like, an old woman or a lady. And I was like, yes, that was exactly what I saw when I was little. And so now it's 2018. I haven't done any research on that house. I don't know if somebody passed away there. I don't know why it's haunted, but, you know, there's confirmation. There was confirmation there from my friend's family that something's going on in that house. So again, thank you so much. I really enjoy listening to your podcast and the ability to call in and tell my stories and to listen to other people's stories. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for sharing that story. You know, I'm hoping that that must give you some sort of affirmation that, you know, you're not crazy, that this actually happened. This wasn't some sort of childhood imaginary type thing, because that sort of stuff is, you know, somewhat common in childhood. Hopefully that moment, you know, obviously sounds like it's quite eye-opening, but confirming as well. Thanks for sharing. Hey, if you're the person that's in charge of hiring for your business, are you using ZipRecruiter? If not, why not? Every business needs great people. A better way to find them is ZipRecruiter. It's not easy to find the right people until ZipRecruiter has come into the picture. Something better than just posting your job online and then praying that the right people see it. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way of doing this whole thing. So they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. It's smart. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. Invitations have revolutionized how you can find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. Yes, no more like weeks and months, and we're doing a nationwide in-depth search. And I mean, that's great and all, but when you can fix your hiring problem right away, why not? ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. Candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter helps you find them. Plus, right now, ZipRecruiter is going to let you try it for free. You guys, that's right, for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. 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 ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
How's it going, guys? My name is Julian Gonzalez, and I'm here to tell you guys, you know, a story it's actually been going on quite lately here at my workplace. It's been going on for a long time now, but now that I'm starting to see it, I'm a little freaked out. I don't know if you guys can hear the cashiers actually, you know, checking all the items out for the customers and whatnot. That's because I work in a supermarket here in my town. And we've had some pretty, pretty strange things happen in the supermarket. And when I say strange, I mean extremely, extremely strange things. So the story that, you know, the story that I actually had to live myself was actually something pretty, you know, when I first saw it, I could not believe it. It was just crazy. And I went home, I told my wife about it, and she could not believe me until we checked the cameras. And then because I asked the managers if they could check the cameras the day afterwards, if it was just me going insane, and if I had to go to, you know, like maybe like a clinic or something to check my eyes or something. But whatever it is that I saw was actually recorded in the cameras. And when the crew members of this supermarket saw what I had seen, I'm telling you, at least two people quit their jobs. Two people quit their jobs, and they were saying it was the devil that was doing it here. So it's a short story, but I'm going to go ahead and share it with you guys. Here in the supermarket, this is like a huge supermarket. And when I say huge, I mean it's like kind of like Walmart, but it's a different brand. You can compare it to Costco or whatnot. I'm not too sure if I can share the details of exactly what supermarket it is. because, you know, just I don't really know if that's allowed. But anyways, I just want to tell you guys a story. I'm in the grocery department, which pretty much means that I have to, you know, make sure that all the you know, items are stacked properly, everything is up to date, and things like those. So I'm constantly having to go to the back, getting the merchandise, and coming back here to, you know, just put the items on the shelves and whatnot. And one time, I had went to the back, but I don't know how exactly it is that it happened. I go into the back, right when I open the back door, the first, she hit like an oatmeal box, literally fly off one side of the room to the other side, and it just flew off, literally from the table it was, because we get the merchandise and they put it on these, like, you know, on the regular paddles or crates that they come in, and that oatmeal box, it was kind of one of those, you know, oatmeal box, not the big, you know, cylinder looking casing that they do know with one of those boxes. It's not that heavy, but it's not something that wind can easily just move around like it's nothing. No, it's not possible. The door was open, so for a second I just thought, okay, maybe what happened was, you know, the wind. But then, you know, I check another, you know, oatmeal that weighs about the same, and I'm just like, there's no way wind can move this. So when that happened, and, you know, the next day that I came to work, I didn't want to tell anybody because I thought, you know, the first thing that they would tell me is like, oh, man, you're crazy or something like that. I didn't want to tell anybody, so I went home. I told my wife, and she told me, I mean, I just need to see it in order to believe, because that's something that, you know, doesn't happen often or didn't happen to anybody I know throughout my whole life. And honestly, it hasn't happened to anyone I know throughout my whole life, so I would probably, if somebody tells me that, I would probably not believe them until that day. So we get back here, we're sharing I'm sharing, you know, the details of what happened with the manager of the store, and he says, man, you have to be the biggest liar in life, or you just have to, you know, you just happen to be in the right time to catch, like, kind of a paranormal experience. And I tell him, well, I'm telling you now, I caught a paranormal experience with these eyes, and you might want to check the cameras in the back to see if what I saw is actually, you know, something paranormal. So he says, you want to know what? He sat down with me. We checked them. We went through the cameras, which is actually not allowed if something, you know, with the customers happened. But he was just so intrigued about it that he just wanted to see if it was true. We checked the cameras, and he sees that box of oatmeal just flying around. And this guy goes nuts. He's telling me, like, oh my god, you know, like, how does that happen? And then he kind of brings all the people in the second floor, where, you know, the whole, you know, staff that doesn't really work out here in the aisles are. And he's like, yo, check this out, look at what this guy saw yesterday, I thought he was lying, but look at it. And people are just going insane. The two people start crying. They start, like, you know, praying to the Lord or something for, like, help, or thinking it's like the devil playing, you know, tricks and whatnot. And up to this day, we do not have any sort of, you know, explanation of what had happened that night. By the way, that was around, like, maybe, like, 11 at night. It was around 11. We were, you know, getting, because around, the store's not closed, but around 10, we close at 12, so around 10, we start putting the merchandise that needs to, you know, be in their corresponding, you know, places. And it was just insane. It was just crazy how that happened. Like I said, two people quit their jobs because they said they just couldn't be here. I mean, it could be used as a good excuse as well to leave your workplace. But I mean, people who really need, you know, the money and, you know, have responsibilities and everything, they really quit the job because of their religious, you know, beliefs, and saying that maybe there was something, you know, like, really strong force here in this market. And then the owner, 3 days later, the owner happens to be here, and then the manager kind of shares the story but doesn't show him the video. And the owner says, you know, I don't even have to see the video in order to believe you, because here in this supermarket, it's, you know, ever since I've owned this, even the lot and, you know, the whole the franchises itself, since I wanted to start the franchise, the workers that used to do the construction and the remodeling here to turn into a supermarket and all the customers, like the aisles and everything, they would have to stay here overnight. And back then, the lights weren't fully installed. So there was only a few lights. And they said that they would hear, you know, people screaming in the back. And then, like, running, they felt like as if someone was running towards them. So, you know, that's a pretty interesting story. Up to now, you know, I've always been a person who, you know, believes in all those things. But to this day, I have no explanation of what happened that time. So, yeah, hope you guys, you know, enjoyed my story, my life story when it comes to ghosts and everything. I'm a super fan of the show. Keep up the good work, and let's hear some more stories. Bye-bye.
I don't know why I've always been interested in grocery stores. If I am trying to kill time and I'm in, let's say, like a city or something that I'm not very familiar with, I will gravitate to go walk around their local grocery stores. I love it. I don't know. I mean, I do enjoy food, but I don't know. There's something, I don't know if it's like a childhood thing. I always enjoyed going grocery shopping when I was a kid with my mom. And I just enjoy walking around grocery stores. Seeing what's up. It's like, oh, let's go see what they have in their freezer section. It's kind of, you know, and I guess, you know, I never associating the paranormal with grocery stores is something I really haven't done. But, you know, I suppose I could end up being a ghost that haunts a grocery store. That's because I'm like, well, I'm dead. Let's go walk around the grocery store a little bit. And I would probably be tossing cornflakes at a lot of people. I would. I'd open up the box and I'd have it like just sprinkling them on people's heads. That is a creepy story. And I can see, you know, it's interesting, you know, when you're at a store or what part of the country you're in, what the immediate reaction is from the individuals. And I think it has a lot to do with how the paranormal is perceived in different cultures, really, where the jump to conclusion on this was, it's the devil, where I don't know that it's necessarily that from what you were describing. Certainly creepy, but I think it could very well be something a lot less dark than that. I think it could just be someone screwing around with the items in the grocery store. But nonetheless, it's got to make work kind of exciting. Beyond just being in a grocery store. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you've not become an EPP yet, an extra podcast person, you sign up on the website at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is. You get access to every single bonus episode that we have, all up to like almost to 200 now at ghostpodcast.com when you're an EPP. Let's go to the caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. My name is Ernest Fernandez. I am from Miami, Florida, and I wanted to tell you guys my ghost story from my mother-in-law's house. So back in 2008, my daughter was born, and this was the first time that I had ever experienced like a real like scare when it comes to ghosts or spirits. And before that, I would see, ever since I was little, I would see like shadows here and there, but nothing too crazy. So in 2008, I had my newborn daughter sleeping on me on the couch because my mother-in-law and my husband were at a funeral. So then I woke up. Within seconds, I hear a container that my mother-in-law had on top of the refrigerator. So it was stereo, like a plastic container. I heard the container fall. And I got scared because it was nighttime and I was by myself. So my mother-in-law and my husband, within seconds, pulled into the driveway. And they come into the door. And I told them what I had heard and that I was too scared to get up. And my daughter was sleeping on me anyways. So my husband goes into the kitchen and he says that there was nothing on the floor, but it sounded like a really loud plastic container. And I knew it was that because I could tell. And there was nothing on the floor. So then fast forward 3 years, and then my son was born. And we had dedicated a room in the house for his crib and, you know, a changing table and a little bed for my daughter. So when we had gone over, my son had this soccer ball that you had to literally bang or kick for it to make noise. And I was changing his diaper, and he was crying and he was upset, and then the ball just started playing by itself in his crib. I didn't really think much of it, but he stopped crying after that. Then a few days later, when we went over again, same thing happened. He was crying, I forgot for what reason, but then the ball just started playing by itself. And mind you, this toy, you really had to like kick it or you had to hit it for it to make any noise at all. So it started playing the music, and then my son stopped crying again. So then my mother-in-law tells me that she has actually experienced a few things here and there in the house. One thing that she experienced was a man walking in the kitchen and into the laundry room while she was doing dishes. And she followed him into the laundry room, and then she saw that there was nothing there. Then she told me that she has felt someone watching her, but that she doesn't feel scared. And she tells me that she literally talks to it and says, hi, how are you? Stuff like that, because she doesn't feel like it's anything evil. And she has also seen a man standing at the door of the house, the main door of the house, before, and then like immediately disappear. So that was her experience. Then 3 years after that, I was pregnant with my second son, which is my third kid, and I was very tired. We had moved in with her at this point, and we also had her sister living with her for some time. So I was very tired. I just wanted to take a nap, as it happens often with pregnant women. And I went into my room, and I laid down, as my mother-in-law's sister was outside playing with the other kids. And as soon as I lay down, there was nobody inside the house. As soon as I lay down, I hear three knocks on the door. And I didn't really think much of it. I thought maybe it was my mother-in-law's sister trying to tell me something. So then I say, come in, and she didn't answer. Then I opened the door, and there was nobody there. Of course, I didn't think it was a ghost or anything, and I didn't know that you're not supposed to actually invite them in or open the door. But I did say, come in. Nobody came in. I opened the door, and there was nobody there. So then, like a few months after that, I was up late because I was trying to finish school, and I had some papers to do. I was up really late. It was like 2 or 3 maybe in the morning. And then I was done. I was about to go to sleep. So I went to the bathroom, which is real close to the bedroom, and you can see into our bedroom. The bedroom door was open, and I went to use the bathroom before bed. And I had left the bathroom door open, and then I literally saw a gray dog go under our bed. Like, it looked just like a gray, like a medium-sized gray dog go under our bed. And I freaked out. I'm like, what the hell was that? Because we don't have a gray dog. And I literally went running back into bed. I was too scared to close the door. I'm like, maybe we'll come out. I don't know. So I was just like really freaked out. Now we moved out already out of my mother-in-law's house, and her sister moved out also. And my mother-in-law lives by herself in a 4-bedroom house. And she tells me all the time that she still hears things, that she feels things. Oh, and also, in my daughter's bedroom at that time, every time we would go into her bedroom, the DVD player would open. And it kind of felt like whatever it was like acknowledging that we were there. So I would literally like say hi every time it would do that. I would be like, hi, how are you? Or good afternoon, whatever it was. It was funny, but never, ever did I really feel like something was threatening to hurt us, or did it feel evil, nothing like that. Yeah, it was scary, but it wasn't anything, it didn't feel like anything evil, if you know what I mean. It actually felt like they were just there keeping us company in a way. And then my mother-in-law, she lives by herself, and she says that she feels the same. Like, she's not scared of being there by herself, and she doesn't think whatever is in there, or however many things are in there, she doesn't feel like they're evil. She's actually okay with them. And she jokes and says that they keep her company. So yeah, that is my story. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No, it's hard to jump to the evil or not on this one, too, because I don't get evil out of it. I get it's something there that's certainly questionable, that's certainly bothersome, that's certainly, if you don't like ghosts, you're not going to like living there. And I understand why you would get out of there. It seems she's made some peace with it. I would think that if it were truly, truly horrible, she would not be at such peace with it. Without, like, being completely possessed or something. We had stories like that where people, like, they're just continually drawn back to the place, and it really is not a good thing there, but I don't really get that out of this. I think it's probably best that you got out of there, because I think it would probably continue to cause, anxiety, stress, and everything else for you, your family, and whatnot. But the fact that she kind of is at peace with it, I guess is a good thing, rather than be constantly troubled. Best probably not to have it at all, but at that point, what do you do? Thanks for sharing that experience. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi. My name is Alyssa, and I'm from Michigan. I'm actually driving home from work right now, so it might be a little noise in the background. I don't know if you guys could hear me or not, but my story was from when I was very young. I might have been 9 or 10. So I used to live in an orphanage in the Philippines before I moved to Michigan. And there was this lady who lived there. It was actually the director's daughter-in-law. His son married her. I don't want to say her real name, so I'm just going to call her Mary for the sake of the story. But Mary was, she wasn't mean, but she wasn't very nice either, especially to the kids in the orphanage. She was not a very nice person to the kids. So I don't know if you guys heard of the virus called meningococcemia, I think that's how you say it. Anyway, she contracted that, and she ended up dying from it. Mary had two kids, both boys, and one of them was about 5 or 6 years old at a time. And, so my cousin was also, she also lived in an orphanage with me. So, we were actually babysitting one of her kids. This was like after she died, and, she was in the funeral home or whatever. And, we were giving, the 5-year-old a bath. And I was just there with my cousin because, I'm not sure what I was doing there, but we were just there together, but she was giving him a bath. And then the kid, he kept looking up the ceiling, and, we didn't really pay attention to it. We thought he was just being calm. And, suddenly he was like, "I thought you said my mom died." And we both looked at each other, me and my cousin did. And I was kind of just like, she did. And the boy, he looked at me and he's like, "I thought you said she died, but she's here. I thought you said she went to heaven." And that freaked me out a lot. Like, I mean, I was 10 years old. Obviously, that's going to freak me out because I could not see anyone in the room besides, him and my cousin. So I kind of just like looked at my cousin and I'm like, "I have to leave," because that's kind of weird that he would say that. But I guess that's the reason why he was staring in the corner like of the ceiling, was because maybe his mom or whatever it was that he was seeing was right there. But we didn't see anything. And I mean, after that, I kind of avoided the bathroom. Of that bathroom or where their house was, just because I thought that was really creepy. And to add to that story, it's the same lady. But since she was very mean, at her funeral, all the kids that was in the orphanage was actually very, very scared after she died. They were afraid of her. They were still afraid of her even though she died, you know. I think it was just the spirit that she left. It was, we could feel it kind of like in the dorm room when we went to sleep. We would all huddle in like in the beds, and there would be like two or three girls in one bed just because we were so scared of her. And this was before she was buried. So, yeah, that's, I mean, I guess I've never really believed in ghosts, but after that, I'm more aware, and listening to the people on your guys' show, I'm more of a believer now than, I guess, a skeptic. But I enjoy your show. I listen to it every day at work. It makes the day go by really fast. So thank you, guys. Have a good day.
It's a horror story. That's, to me... And I don't take it as there's something demonic going on. I take it as there's a really dark, bad spirit that still lingers there. You know, it's not gone away. It's still being itself. It's still its dark, evil, malicious self. I should say evil, because I think evil connotates, you know, something demonic. I don't think it's that. I just think it's something that was bad in life and is bad in death. And the energy lives on. Thanks for sharing your experience with us here on the program. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to tell you guys about a dream that I had. I want to tell you a little story before I work up to the dream, okay? I had a friend who was in the military. He was my best friend. One night he had called me about 2:30 to 3:30, and he told me in the morning, and he told me that he wasn't going to make it home from this deployment. They were getting ready to go on a deployment, but he told me he wasn't going to make it home this time. I thought he was just drunk and told him, okay, whatever, like, you're going to be fine, you know, don't worry about it. And he's like, no, Bambina, that's what he used to call me, Bambina. He said, Bambina, something's going to happen to my guys. I'm not going to come home. I said, okay, well, if that's the case, then promise me you'll have somebody let me know. He agreed. Well, then I had a dream, and in this dream I was at an airport. I had just gotten off a plane, and I just walked through that little catwalk that goes through, that goes to the gate. And when I walked through the gate, I saw him there. He was sitting, and when he saw me, he stood up and came over to me. We had a little bit of a conversation. I actually do not remember what that conversation was about. But then he turned and looked behind him, turned back and looked at me and said, I'm okay, but I have to go. And so we hugged, and that was it. I woke up. I found out on January 24th of 06 that my friend was killed in action. There was three other guys. They had hit a roadside bomb and it had killed them. My dream was before I found out that he was killed. I kind of think it was his way of keeping his promise of having somebody tell me. I did have two other people tell me. One was somebody that he went to school with. I didn't grow up with him. And she happened to find his MySpace page, and I was his only MySpace friend. And she emailed me and told me about how he would be missed. And I was like, what? Like, I was confused until I figured it out. I looked it up, and sure enough, he had been killed. But also, one of the guys that he served with, his wife had gotten a hold of me somehow. I don't even know how. I mean, it was through a messenger, but I don't know how she got my name. And she had confirmed that they were indeed killed. Not her husband. Her husband wasn't with them, but my friend and the other guys. So, like I said, I like to think that that's his way of keeping his promise. And I don't, what do you guys think?
I think you're exactly right. You know, in life, when he told you that he really felt something was not going to be right, something was not going to happen, something was going to happen that was not going to allow him to come back home. He, at that point in time, I'm sure really didn't have an understanding or a knowledge of how someone was going to communicate that to you, how someone was going to let you know, but wanted that to happen. And when he passed, he discovered that he could actually be the one to deliver the message, and he did, and he came through on his promise. I'm sorry for your loss. Thank you for sharing that story with us today. It's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our program, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. You sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all we ask. You can even do it through Patreon. The link is there as well. It all starts at ghostpodcast.com to keep this show alive. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.